Hello and welcome to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. This is Reverend Shreese Thorne inviting you to journey to all that is.
Hello and thank you for listening to Knowing Spirit. This is a show dedicated to healing the soul so that you can change your life, so that you can enjoy your existence, and share that joy with everyone around you. My name is Reverend Shreese Thorne. I'm the co-founder of the Temple of Knowing Spirit, which is an interfaith center located just outside Chicago. I also run a school called the New Dawn School of Enlightenment, which is also a seminary for those who are wishing to be ordained. But the purpose of the school is to assist people in awakening to their higher selves and to their higher purpose. And I run this school with Reverend LaVon, Bellhaber out in Minnesota. She's the director, and she should be on the line with me. Hi, LaVon.
Hi.
Thank you for being with me today as we discuss empowerment, consciousness, being able to manifest what we want, being able to enjoy ourselves. All these things go hand in hand. Just a few days ago, I was talking with you about how forgiveness releases somebody else from being responsible for your happiness and well-being, this forgiveness. So I'd like to talk about three things today. I want to talk about forgiveness and how forgiveness empowers you. Because when you forgive, you release somebody else from being responsible for your happiness. And when you release somebody else from being responsible for your happiness, you become fully responsible for yourself, which is what is termed as God consciousness. Some people call it immortality. Some people call it full realization or full ascension or fully enlightened being. There's lots of different ways to put names to it, but the point is when you are responsible for yourself on all levels, you are your creator. You are your God, and that's where your power comes from. So forgiveness is a key element in that. The second one is the self-awareness. When we keep working on our self-awareness and becoming aware of different aspects of ourselves and then integrating those aspects, you again become more conscious, and then you have access to more consciousness, and there's your power. Consciousness is power. And the third one, combined with forgiveness and self-awareness, the third one is acceptance. When you stop resisting what you're experiencing, when you go into a state of full acceptance, you shift from being a human to a spirit being and from mortal to immortal, because it's the judgment that we place on our circumstances and our situations and the life around us that sometimes causes us to forget that we are the ones creating it. So this show is about taking your power back, let's put it that way. Take your power back from the thought that somebody else is creating this world. You are the one creating your world. Take your power back from the thought that there is a being that is greater than you and outside somewhere, and this being is going to judge you and condemn you, and you need to be a good boy or girl in order to get into heaven. I don't think that is true either. Take your power back from the people that you feel have harmed you. Yes, they may have harmed you. But when you forgive them and release them from being responsible for yourself, you now become the gatekeeper. You become the avatar. You become the one that is going to give you eternal peace or eternal hell. It's really up to you. And these are all interconnected. These all connect with each other in terms of one is based upon the other. There isn't a separate, you know, forgiveness is separate from acceptance. Consciousness isn't a separate from becoming self-aware. These are all divinely connected. So we were speaking briefly the other day, LaVon, about how forgiveness releases people from being responsible for your own welfare. And you had some thoughts about that when we were talking about this a few days ago. What do you think of forgiveness being a key to releasing others from responsibility for your welfare? How does that sound to you? Is that something that you think is practical?
Well, you know, you mentioned it the other day. I've never heard it mentioned like that before, but it's nice to know, actually. maybe even more for being on the other side, you know, because people have to forgive me all the time too, right? So it's nice not to be responsible for others, you know, happiness, like you've been saying. So
the power base then moves from the other person to yourself. So let's maybe talk about this in terms of a situation. Let's say you're married and you have a divorce, and your spouse was very cruel to you. Let's put it that way, and was very abusive. And let's say when you're in the divorce, you lost everything. Of course, you would feel a lot of anger and resentment towards the person, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could also result in you having a very negative life. It could result in you not being a happy person. You could be full of anger and resentment and bitterness, and then the rest of your life is depressing. You're not enthusiastic as a result of what has happened. Do you see how the rest of your life could spiral out?
Yeah, because the few folk that I've met that are really bitter, that's all they dwell on, you can tell. It's all they talk about, and, you know, they have no other energy left for anything, hardly, because they just dwell on it. And, you know, I have told these folk, you know, well, the other person doesn't care. They don't even really know that you feel this way, because usually they're out of your picture, so it's just wasting their energy, really. I mean, it's like a unnecessary holding on.
So when you're holding on to something, when you're holding on to anger and you're holding on to resentment and you're blaming the other person for how you're living your life, then you're giving them power. You're giving your power away to the other person to make you happy or to make you sad. Now, this is not to say if somebody has done something very cruel to you, whatever, it's not even for me to decide. If somebody has done something wrong, then they've done something wrong. This is not to negate inappropriate behavior or unloving behavior. The point is, once you've removed yourself from this person's energy field, once you've disconnected yourself from this person, don't allow this person or this group, even if, let's say, it's an old workplace, don't allow this group to take away your power by remaining angry. Forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for yourself. Because when you forgive them, you are deciding you're going to be happy regardless of what somebody else might be wanting to do to you or say about you or have done to you. It's about you. You're taking the power back in your own hands. You are consciously creating your life, and that is, and what is God? God is the creator. God, goddess, creator. So in order to become one with God, goddess, or be the God, goddess, creator, you have to start choosing to create your life. And part of that is making sure that you're not allowing somebody else to dictate how you feel. So let's say you come home from work and your wife and your husband had a very difficult day and they take it out on you. Does that ruin the rest of your night? Does it ruin the rest of your week? Do you turn around and binge or drink or take it out on your own children? This is what I'm talking about, power, taking your power back from other people. Are you relying on other people to make you happy? I think it's important to enjoy your family members, enjoy your coworkers, enjoy the job you have. Enjoy your existence. But if somebody can make you happy, then that same person can make you sad. And therefore, your power has moved from inside of your heart and your mind to outside your heart. So it's really important that the power stays inside of our body.
Well, you know, it sounds good. But, you know, I myself, forgiveness, I don't think is as difficult for me as maybe for some others. So what would you say to someone that, yes, will say, yes, I forgive, but in their heart they just can't seem to release it?
Well, that's a very good question, and maybe we should ask people if they are interested in calling in and finding out more about this. I haven't given this out in a while. The toll-free number is 1-877-876-5227, and that's for the U.S. And toll-free for Canada and the U.S. is 1-888-815-9756, and we're talking about forgiveness. So your question was, how do we get to the point where, you know, we can forgive somebody else so that we can take our power back? Did I get that right?
Yes, you know, just like some people get depressed and they just can't seem to get out of it, you know. I mean, everything sounds good, but how do you do it? You know, I mean, haven't you ever had an emotion that, you know, like I can remember when I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, I went to a funeral and it was my little cousin was, 6 years old, and she, you know, car ran over her. And I remember it so clearly because, you know, when you're pregnant anyways, you're kind of emotional. And my grandmother could not understand why it bothered me so, you know. And I just couldn't get over it. And I'm sure it had something to do with my hormones, too. But I still, even at that moment, I looked at her thinking, my little cousin, 6-year-old, just got her head ran over, and I'm supposed to be happy or, you know. And I know that's just an illustration of which, you know, I think that's kind of normal to feel down. But there's people I've talked to, their emotions are just, you know, okay, I can't forgive. They just can't. So.
Well, I would, in those cases, which is legitimate, if you can't forgive right now, then I would let it alone. Last week we talked about that big rock that was in the front yard. And if it was too heavy for you to pick up, you'd either ask somebody else to help you or you just leave it where it is until you're stronger. So that's pretty symbolic of forgiveness. If you just can't right now, then leave it alone until you can. But know that the other person isn't responsible for your happiness. Sometimes you can even, you know, forgiveness isn't, well, I forgive them. Forgiveness can also be, I am not going to allow somebody else to ruin my life. I'm not going to allow somebody else to take control of my mind and my thoughts and my reactions. And in other words, I'm not going to suffer because somebody else was a jerk or abusive. You're not going to suffer because somebody else doesn't know any better. Don't allow yourself to continue suffering. This is not self-blame. Never, ever blame yourself for situations and circumstances. That's not what this is about. But you can put your foot down and say, I'm not going to suffer because somebody else was an absolute jerk. I'm not going to suffer because somebody else was abusive or controlling or manipulating.
Well, I think a few weeks ago we talked about it, you know, on our teleconference that we do, you know, with our school. If you have a feeling and if you keep saying something over and over, it in time, the feeling will dissolve. Isn't that what we kind of was talking about? So even though if you don't feel it, you should still say it.
Yeah, even saying the word, I forgive. Saying the word, I forgive, or saying the word, I accept, or asking your higher self to assist you in forgiving, or asking your higher self to forgive for you, or your God self to forgive for you, or asking, a lot of times forgiveness is just expanding your awareness out and becoming aware of what happened. Sometimes it's important or healing to maybe put yourself in the other person's shoes and you take a look at their life. And you see perhaps what a painful childhood they had, and that they didn't know any better. And if they could have done differently, they would have. But what most people only hurt out of unconsciousness. You have to be unconscious to do the things we do to other people. It's, you know, unfortunately, we're very cruel. Sometimes putting yourself in their position, let's say you had an abusive relative. Sometimes going back and looking at, you know, who raised your relative, more people within the same family that were also very abusive. So it's a pattern of abuse. Sometimes becoming aware of what the other person may have gone through. Not sympathy for them, but just realizing that it's a pattern, it's a cycle. When I studied to be a child care worker, I took a lot of classes just on child abuse and sexual abuse, and it's a cycle. A pattern that people get themselves caught up in. As children, they're abused, and they feel awful, and they think, I would never do this to somebody else. but yet when they grow up as adults, they do the same thing. Because it is an action, like it's an energy that they don't know how to resolve. So then they turn around and they victimize somebody else the same way they were victimized, and then they can't believe that they've done it because they know how awful it felt. So there's a lot of dysfunction, and that is something that is really an important topic, but I don't want to get into because right now I'm focusing on empowerment. There's lots of great therapists that you can go to. And
so understanding is a healing right there when you can understand what's going on.
Yeah, understand that the person couldn't have done any better. That's one. Yeah. Also, maybe just choosing to say, okay, this person did something very wrong to me. This person abandoned me. There was an example of, they did a study on twins, which I just watched the other day. One twin was happy and the other twin was very unhappy, but they're twins. Except one twin's husband left her, and she was trying to raise a child by herself, and she was a pretty bitter woman. Understandably so. It is not easy to try and raise a child by yourself. But what happened is she was still, it appeared, I don't know for sure, it appeared that she was still blaming the ex-husband for leaving and putting her in a predicament where she would have to raise her child by herself. And it's okay to feel anger. It is okay. In fact, it's divine to feel the anger, because if you don't feel that anger, you're going to suppress it, and that's where disease comes from, suppressed emotions. So allow yourself to feel the anger. Let it flow through you and out. Try not to hurt anybody while you're doing it. So feel that anger. But once you have felt it, don't hang on to it. Let it go and use that energy, that anger of energy, to decide you're never going to allow anybody to harm you again. Anger is just an energy, so you want to take that energy, and instead of directing anger at somebody else, take that power. It's a current. And have you ever felt anger? It's like a current running up your spine. It's a jolt. It's like sticking your finger in a socket. Take that power and use it for determination. Use it and put it out to the universe. Let's say you have a boss that's very manipulative and domineering and very inappropriate with you, let's say pushing your boundaries all the time. You use that power to put your foot down and put boundaries up around you and state to the universe, no one is ever going to take advantage of you again. That's power. That's current. So the anger itself isn't bad. Just use it for your own advantage. Don't let it fester.
Because it can become even an illness or, you know, pretty serious disability.
It could, yes.
Because I know I've read years ago that if you hold a grudge or if you're angry at someone, it could turn into cancer, arthritis. This is just what I've heard. In fact, my trauma erase, that's what I work with, is if people have an ache, or even before you guys called, I was praying and meditating, and I start getting a little bit of a pain down my left thigh, and I thought, to me, anyways, it represents something of going forward, doing what I'm supposed to do. So I just kept saying positive affirmations about doing what I came here to do, willingness of doing it, and I had to say it for a while, and then the pain went away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little example, but I've learned. See, that's the thing with what we offer in our school, is we can teach people, we can help people, and in time, you don't even need your teachers. You can do it yourself.
Yes, in time, yes, definitely, in time. Yeah, and in fact, the greatest teacher is within.
Yep.
Yeah, the greatest teacher is within, when it comes down to it. Because you're teaching yourself, your life is your teacher, actually. It's your circumstances. So let's go back to these two sisters. The husband had left her, and she's struggling. But what happens when she overcomes these struggles? What happens when she actually is able to raise her daughter by herself, and she can support herself, and she can be happy without a man? What happens then? She's grown. She's evolved. She's become more conscious. She's got her power back. She's got what it is that her soul was looking for, which is strength. She's got strength, she's got courage, she's got power. She actually consciously, if she can do it, chooses to stop blaming her husband and start choosing to create her own mood, her own happiness. And that is a gift. Not that, you know, I had ever want anybody to go through a divorce, but that is a gift. Because sometimes when you go through these difficult times and you have to do something for yourself, you have to make yourself happy. You have to wake up in the morning and say, my circumstances absolutely suck. I don't like my job. I hate where I live. And I don't even have enough money to live on. But I'm going to choose to be happy regardless. When you change your mind, you change the neurons, you change the firing that's going on in that nervous system there. You change the chemical makeup of your whole body. You change your frequency, and science is already, and you know, there's enough people out there with these wonderful books about how your thoughts will actually change your life, because you're training your mind to think differently. Even though your circumstances are difficult, you're training your mind to think differently. The mind is just a tool waiting to be used, or the brain, let's put it that way, the brain. The brain can be transformed. There's certain places in the brain. And you can transform them by changing your thoughts, by being determined and saying, I'm not going to allow anything to steal my joy. I'm going to be joyful now, regardless. And then what happens is you're always going to have that power. Because there are people who are living, you know, wonderful lives. They did a study on the happiest country on the planet is Denmark. And why are they happy? Because they feel safe and secure, because their government is taking very good care of them. 65% or 60% of their earnings goes towards taxes, which they're okay with because they feel safe. They feel like when they get older, their government is going to make sure that in their old age they're taken care of.
And I saw that document, and they said that they all got paid the same too, so they just did what they liked, not tried to become rich.
That's right, and that's an excellent, and that's a wonderful society. But what happens when you die and you don't reincarnate in Denmark, which is what I was trying to tell my son the other day? He's like, oh, I want to move to Denmark. I said, it's a great and wonderful thought, but it is a condition of happiness. That's a conditioned happiness. You are feeling safe because the government is going to take care of you. That's not really feeling safe. You're being lulled into safety. Take control of your own mind and take control of your own life and say, I am going to be safe because I am the one choosing to be safe. Not because some government is going to make sure that I'm taken care of in my old age. I'm going to take care of myself in my old age because I'm going to live a healthy life. I'm going to surround myself with loving people, and I create my reality. So yes, they might be happy, but it's a conditioned happiness. It is not a true, long-lasting happiness. If they reincarnate into another country, God help them. What happens if they reincarnate to another country where there is no government and there's nobody to take care of them? We're either going to learn how to manifest the reality that we want, or we're going to rely on somebody else. It's really up to us, and that is the hardest one of all, because we keep thinking somebody else is going to come save us. But it's up to us, and once we've done it, once we've taken back our power, once we've taken control over our lives, once we've started to manifest the money that we need in the situations and circumstance, it never has to end. Why would you ever go back to poverty? Why would you ever go back to unhappiness if you're the one choosing? For example, in the program we're running, Module 2, has one of the exercises is called writing your script. And I'm going to make it real short because it's a pretty long, intricate exercise. But just for this show, what we're asking our students to do is at night or in the morning, they're going to write out a brief paragraph of their day. They're going to write their script as if they were the director of a sitcom. Because a few weeks ago we talked about writing your script, and I thought it was a really interesting idea. Because sometimes people don't just want to journal. They want to do something else. So you write out your script the night before or the morning, and it doesn't have to be very long. Just what do you want to experience that day? And it could just be excitement. Something exciting happens to me today as I walk into work. I get a raise, or I this or I that. You are writing your own script. And when you write it and you go into work and you experience what happens, you come back home at night and you reflect on it, just a couple of sentences. Did you experience anything that you said you would experience? What kinds of things happened? Did your desires change? Week one, you desire to maybe have something exciting. But week two, did you just desire for peace? It's a good way to figure out what your desires are, because you're creating your world through your desires anyways. So this writing of the script is a really interesting way to start taking control of your life, because somebody is directing it, and that somebody is you. So you might as well become conscious of it. So if you were to write a script, Lavad, what kinds of things would you want to put in there? And how do you think that might change your life?
You know, I kind of knew you were going to ask that question. And
I kind of put you on the spot. I apologize.
That's okay. But I'm thinking, you know, see, I've done a lot of those practices, and I was thinking, I'm really, really quite content. So I know that I guess I'm seeing why I've come here more, so I guess I don't see it as well. I mean, I'm getting there, and I know that's important. I guess I would like that. I'd like to be to that point, you know, where I see exactly. Because when you grow, it's like, well, it depends on how you're growing. But you know, you and I work with each other, and that's how I've learned. So I guess I would like to be to that point where I'm maybe sitting on the throne, and I really see it all. You know?
Okay, and that's great, because that's what a lot of people want. A lot of people want to just become more aware and more evolved. So, for example, your script would be, I woke up this morning, and all of a sudden, I had all these gifts, and I was aware, and which is interesting because I was going to bring up today that I offer readings, you offer readings, there's lots of people who offer readings, but you never really have to go to anybody else. You can do it yourself. If I have that gift, and if I can see into the astral, if I can see into your chakras, and I can see in the past, present, and the future, so can anybody else. All these powers are latent within the soul. So part of your script would be to create this. But in the creating, you would just be writing it as if it had already happened. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So you're going to write down, okay, I experienced peace and happiness and harmony, or experiencing into the astral realm, and I was able to see those who had crossed over. When you write that out as if it has already happened, what you're doing is you're creating it, because your thoughts are then going to, your mind doesn't know what you're visualizing or you're imagining or what you're actually doing. They've actually had a study on that. The brain can't tell the difference between a fantasy and an actual experience, because the same neurons, the same chemicals are being used. So they had an experiment with swimmers. I think they were practicing swimming, and they visualized swimming, they visualized winning the meet, they visualized doing well, but the brain reacted the same way as when they visualized as when they actually swam. The brain didn't know the difference between them doing the actual activity and them visualizing the actual activity. So if you sit down and you write out that script, and you visualize, and you write out, okay, this is what happened, and this is what happened, and this is what happened. The brain doesn't know that it didn't really happen. It doesn't know. All it knows is it's experiencing that it has happened. It's experiencing. It doesn't know what you're doing. All it knows is that it is experiencing it. So that feeling of being able to see into the astral realm, which is what you're looking for, that feeling of being able to see into the higher dimensions, and come to a place of knowingness, that feeling of seeing the divinity in the order of the universe, the feeling of being one with everything. You're looking for all these higher esoteric truths. Am I correct?
Yeah, because, you know, I do those things here and there, but it's not, like, well, as efficient as I'd like. But I like what you said, too. We have to talk like it's here, because if we
right.
say, I'm going to, it's always almost there. It's just like we're almost reaching.
You're almost there. That's right.
We talk like it's here. How about dreams then? When you dream.
Well, let me just finish off what you were going to say. Sorry to interrupt you, but
sure.
the reason why when you're writing this out, you're writing the script, you're going to write your script as you're a director. And you have to be aware that when you're a director and you're writing a script, sometimes your characters don't do exactly what you want them to do. Actors and actresses have their own minds, and they sometimes will change the line. So you don't want to control every little thing. But you are writing out the drama of your life. So when you write it out and you create it, your mind, your brain is experiencing the feeling of being more aware or being more conscious or having psychic abilities. Let's put it that way. So your brain is under the impression that you have psychic abilities when you write out your script. So what happens? After a few weeks of writing out your script, you will have psychic abilities. You will be psychic because the hormones, the chemicals, the neurons, the energy, the frequency that you're emitting out is that you are psychic. So if you keep it up, you will be. You will be whatever you think about. Whatever you think about, you will bring about. You will be. It's that frequency. You're going to vibrate at that level that you want to be at, and if you continue to vibrate at the level you want to be at, then you will just be at that level.
So what happens? You get what you want, and you realize you don't want it, so you just have to do the opposite, then you...
Well, yeah, or you could, I mean, for a second, I think that we would all be happier if we allowed all of ourselves to be psychic, or some people call it extrasensory. I just call it intuitive. If we lived by our intuition, everything would be easier. You'd know what job to get. You would know who to marry. You'd know what car to buy. It's intuition. You wouldn't have to go to a psychic. Although it's okay to go to one, all I'm saying is you can do, your power base is inside of you. You can use your own intuition to see what's good for you.
Okay, then. Okay, like yesterday we went to a ice fishing derby. And there had to have been like 200-300 people there, and everybody was wishing for the car. So what does the universe do then?
Well, the person who is the being, right, the person,
uh-huh.
Everybody's a being, the consciousness who has been thinking about it the most, right, the most intense, let's call it that one, the greatest desire. Also the one who's open to receiving it. You can have a great desire to win something, but if you don't think you deserve it, you're not going to get it. Because we block our blessings because we don't think that we deserve it, right? So you have to have desire, but you also have to feel that you deserve it.
Well, that makes sense, because yesterday I was teasing my husband through the whole thing that we got the car, and they were giving a lot of prizes. But in my mind, I realized that Ken and I really don't need those. There's more that need it than we. So it makes sense.
Yeah. If you feel that you deserve it, then it will come to you. A lot of it is deserving. And then a lot of it is, it depends on what you have been asking the universe. If you're asking, I thank you all that is for healing and cleansing me and making me one with you, it depends. That car may or may be in that plan. But you have to also take a look at all of your other desires. So if you really want to buy that car, that's great. But if you were at church for an hour before you went to that car, and you were praying for spiritual enlightenment and attunement and to become, you know, one with Lord Jesus, that plan may not be for you to have that new car. You therefore have to be very aware of all of your desires, all of your prayers. Everything that you think you're actually praying for. So if you're thinking about becoming one with God, regardless of what religion you're in, it doesn't matter what religion you're in, you're desiring something. There's always something you're desiring. So sometimes on a spiritual level, your higher self will come in and block an attainment of something because it's not good for you. So, you know, if you want that, you know, red Ferrari, and you deserve it, and you know you deserve it, and you really want it, but then in the same breath you're saying, oh, I want to evolve, and your higher self determines that the red Ferrari is not good for you in terms of evolving, then you're not going to get it. So, but it comes down to the person's higher self. You know, we don't make decisions for other people.
I know, like,
the person's higher self.
I used to be a counselor for the 700 Club, you know, that
mm-hmm.
Christian, I don't think it's on anymore. And I used to have this young man call, and he always prayed. He says, pray with me, I want this car, and this guy was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried telling him, but do you really think God's going to give you a car when you can't even get out of bed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he was mad at God because God didn't give him this car.
Yeah.
So it's just like you said. So then again, as much as what our mind creates, there's still the universe has some kind of wisdom for us? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, your higher self.
Your higher self
has wisdom. And it depends, though. Like some people are praying to become one with their higher self. So then their higher selves may step in. But for some, see, there's no judgment here. For some, getting that red Ferrari is really important to their spiritual evolution. And I know this sounds ridiculous. Why would a car be important to spiritual evolution? But if that soul came to Earth to know that it had the power to buy what it needed to buy and attain what it needed to attain, then getting that car is really important. So we don't know what everybody else's lessons are. So I can't judge. You know, somebody calls me up. I've had somebody call me up and really want a huge home. And they were already living in a big home. But they wanted even a bigger home. And I didn't judge. I said, okay, let's get to it. I looked at her chart. What do we have to do in your chart? Because the chart tells you a lot, your astrology chart. Also, I worked on her chakras. You know, she had a blocked sacral chakra. You're not going to manifest a lot if that sacral chakra is shut. Therefore, she didn't feel like she was deserving to have a bigger home. And I know it sounds meaningless because she's already living in a mansion and she wants an even bigger home. But the reality is her soul came here because in past lifetimes she was prevented from attaining material wealth by other people. She allowed other people to prevent her from attaining material wealth. So in this lifetime, she was taking her power back and she's going to buy and buy and buy so she could demonstrate to herself that she was capable of doing it. It's not for me to judge. That's between her and her soul and her higher self and her God. I'm just a facilitator. So we always have to remember to step back from other people's dramas. I never know on all levels what is good and what is not good. I just ask for guidance and help them. Because you really, in the end, only know yourself. It's for yourself.
Yeah, we never want to take people's lessons away. Cause
that's right.
I don't
know. It's for them. It's for them. You know, why would you, you know, you take somebody out of grade school? Why would you do that? Then they're going to grow up and go to college and not have that, you know, grade three. It's so essential. So, you know, you just want to support. That's what healers are for. We're just to support, just to facilitate. That's why we, you know, you offer the program, that New Dawn School of Enlightenment. It's a spiritual facilitator training program. So we give out a certificate, you know, for spiritual healing and counseling at the end if you've done all the, you know, the homework and the retreats. But the point is to awaken. It's to awaken. It's to assist in remembering that you are a divine and Holy Spirit being. It's just to assist in becoming conscious of the fact that, wow, I have different aspects of myself. I am not just human. I have an inner child that I got to deal with. Sometimes he or she acts up at the worst of times. Sometimes she's afraid, so I act out and I do really stupid things. But you also have a higher self. You also have all of your past life selves that you got to deal with. You know, everything that you've ever experienced is in that mind. It's in your aura. It's in your field, whatever you want to call it. You got all the past lives. And then who knows? There's people who say that we've come from other star systems. Then you got to turn around and try and integrate the being that may have traveled from somewhere else. Who knows? Either way, there's more to us than meets the eye.
Well, just like my husband and I, my husband's favorite thing is ice fishing. So many times when I'm in that little ice shack, I will ask that fisherman part of me to help me.
That's right, yes, because you have I'm so glad you brought that up. For something to exist, it has to exist within you too. So if there's a fisherman, then there's a fisherman in you. If there's a Neptune, there's a Neptune in you. If there's a Venus, there's a Venus in you. Because everything is just energy. So it's called the macrocosm versus the microcosm. If whatever is in the universe is also equally present within you, and that means all the archetypes. So the Divine Mother is in you. The Christ is in you. Right?
Yep.
The healer is in you. The teacher is in you. The cook. The cleaner. But also the victim and the criminal. All these archetypes are inside of us. It's up to us to identify with what we want to identify with. You know, do you want to identify with the criminal or do you want to identify with the God, Goddess? Because in order for something to exist, it has to exist equally within everybody. we're all absolutely equal. So if you're equal and I'm equal and my husband and my mother and my son and my brother and sister are all equal, that means everything that's within me, everything that I have ever been able to do, somebody else can do as well, if they want to. But energy is just energy. There's nothing personal. I don't think energy has any preferences. Energy doesn't decide, oh, I'm going to go work with somebody else and make them rich and happy and famous. That rich, happy, famous person dedicated their lives to becoming rich and happy and famous. I was talking to my son just yesterday, and hopefully he's listening right now, but I was talking to my son just yesterday about Tiger Woods, about how from the time, if I'm remembering correctly, I think by 11 years old, he was listening to affirmations on a tape, playing over and over again.
Yeah, I heard that he meditates a lot, yeah.
That's right. But from the time he was young, he was using affirmations to create his reality, and look at what he's done. There is no luck in that man's life. He has created everything. He doesn't give his power away. He had some tough times. I'm sure everything wasn't honky-dory, but he is not allowing anyone to infringe upon his peace and his happiness, which is what I am trying to do for myself and do for the people that come to our school.
Not like before, you say that our mind creates, right?
Yes.
So when you're dreaming, that's your subconsciousness as a rule, right, is trying to show you. So it's kind of the same thing, but it's like we're quiet.
Yeah, you're said, well, dreams are really important. That's why in that the school, one of the exercises is a dream journal. That's the first thing that I ask students to do is get out a dream journal, and in the morning, as soon as you wake up, before you even leave that bed, if you can, journal about what you dreamt. And be really specific. Try and remember who was in the dream. How did you feel? What were you wearing? Because, you know, the dream world is part of that astral realm. There aren't a lot of limitations in your dreams if you think about it. You can fly in the sky. You know, you could be in a million places at once. It's becoming conscious of your subconscious. So the more aware you are of your dreams, the more conscious you become of the subconscious. You know, that other level, that other aspect to yourself. And you have vivid dreams, which means you're really becoming aware of your subconscious. Your dreams are a way to try and heal. A lot of times dreams are healing. We want to get rid of something. We want to heal something, and you can only do it in the dream time. Aborigines used to consider the dream time the real time and the linear time the false time. They thought linear time was ridiculous because that's their philosophy, which I like that idea. Because time isn't linear, and time is only linear if you're in a human body. Time just is. And we've seen that proven in experiments. Time can change. So it's up to us, which is, again, I'm talking about the power base. So we talked a lot about forgiveness and how you're forgiving. When you forgive somebody, you release them from being responsible for your life, and you become responsible so that you then become the God-Goddess. And then another thing that I was suggesting was self-awareness. So you want to become aware of different aspects of yourself. Now, how do you do that? You ask the aspects of yourself that you're trying to become aware of to make themselves visible to you or make themselves known. So you are trying to become aware of your God, Goddess self, and you said throne, right?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You wanted to be on the throne. You wanted to be God, Goddess conscious. So by asking that God, Goddess, or a higher self, or Mother of God, or Father God, whatever word you want to use, please make yourselves known to me. Please make yourself available to my consciousness. Please show me what you're like, because that being is inside of you. It's not anywhere outside. So the first thing to do is ask. So you ask for help. You ask them to show up and be open to receiving. So you ask. The second thing you want to do is you want to write your script, or quote-unquote visualize or fantasize about being that being, because the brain doesn't know any different. So you ask, and then you visualize, And then you then open up to receive, because a lot of times we block our blessings. And then when you become aware of that aspect of it yourself, try and integrate it. We want to integrate all aspects of ourselves, because sometimes we're disconnected. Some people are very disconnected from their inner child. And that's when we have all these, you know, people who fall apart at the seams, because they've been rejecting their inner child, and their inner child doesn't feel safe, and they, you know, they ignore their inner child, and then the inner child goes out and spends all the money that they have, and then they wonder what, you know, what's going on. Or they become a drinker, or abusive, or give their power away, or purchase things that are unnecessary. All these kinds of things, you know, your inner child acts out. So becoming connected to your, you know, your inner child, your higher self, your God, goddess self. Some people believe in ETs. Become aware of your ET self. It's inside of you. So asking and then being open to receive, integrating them, because you're not just one, we're everything, right? So you want to integrate. So practice integrating, talking to the different aspects of yourself. You want to connect. Just like you would talk to your inner child, you talk to, let's say, some people want to be aware of their ET self. So talk to the ET self. You want to become aware of your God, goddess self, so you would spend a lot more time conversing with this aspect of yourself. You may not be able to see her or feel her or know her, but she's listening. And there, the more often you talk to something, the more often you interact with something, the more like that something you become. That's why it's really important to surround yourself with high vibration and frequency thoughts and people and places. The doctor, if I'm saying his name right, I think his name is Emoto, demonstrated that in his book. The water molecules developed and began to look like what they were next to or in front of. It's a beautiful, some beautiful pictures. And I wrote that in my book, Knowing Spirit Through Healing Your Soul. It was really an important aspect of our lives we have to become conscious of. Whatever you place yourself around, whatever energy field you consistently expose yourself to, you will become like that. That's why it's really important to take a look at your life. Take a look at the circumstances that are around you. It's vital. It's incredibly important. And that's the point of the school, just to help people become aware of themselves. That's all there is. If you want to become a spiritual healer and teacher and do readings and astrology and tarot, we teach that as well. But those are just tools. What I want to share is how to awaken and how to ascend. You can learn tools anywhere. You can pick up a book and read it. But how to ascend, sometimes you need a little bit more help on how to integrate, how to align. We have to be in alignment with our higher selves in order to really be happy. So those are some of the reasons why we put together the program. And the teleconferences, which we, you know, didn't start till too long ago, was really just to help people get a hold of their daily experiences and to share them. We all need a sounding board. We all need a group to just connect to, not need, but it's easier when you have a group to work with. It's easier when you're doing these experiential exercises in a group. That's why we focus a lot on the aura. And last week's session on expanding the aura out and feeling the aura go out to the end of the room and touch the bookshelves and the crystals and whoever else was in there, that was a really profound experience for some people. I know you mentioned that somebody on the line, they mentioned to you afterwards they had a real profound experience. Because when you're doing it in a group, then everybody's energy is together. Everybody's energy is coming together. So when you're in a group, there's more power, therefore more joy, more consciousness, which is we all deserve. We all deserve peace and happiness. So what would you like to share as we wind down, Levon? You offered the trauma erase, you direct the school, you've been part of the teleconferences. What would you like to share? What would be beneficial for you now to share with?
Well, that deal the other day where we were doing the aura thing, the individual shared with me how she really felt her aura, and she realized the state she was in. So because of it, her and I did a session, and now she has such inner peace that she hasn't felt. So what's really exciting about all these things is that it does help us become what we've come here to become, or that peace. I seem to strive for peace in this lifetime, and it seems like because of that I meet others, that's what they want. So, and then, again, we do it on the phone. A lot of our work is on the phone, which I think is really super because we live, I'm sure many ears that are listening live quite a ways from here. And I think, hey, that's my goal anyway. So, and I'm finding, again, others with the same goal. So, and we're getting together. And I think it's neat to be able to talk with others when we feel and think a certain way because, you know, you can be free that way because you can't just talk this way with anyone.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you want to like a group of like mind, and not to be clannish, but just a group of like minds. Yes, and I know the people that are on. You know, you run your own school. I know the people that are on your call really enjoy it. So,
oh yes,
it's we deserve the peace and happiness, and you will bring to you the teachers and the groups that are meant for you to work with. So, if they are interested in your program, what is the name? Your school is called the Center of Love, and what's your number? Where can they contact you at if they want to work with you?
218-425-3983. And even if you just want to call to have questions, that doesn't mean you call that you're going to sign up. Because, you know, a lot of times people want to know what's going on. And then my email address is 77guided, G-U-I-D-E-D, 77 at Wictel, WIKTEL.com.
Thank you very much for being on the line with me today.
Well, thank you.
My information is, my website is www.knowingspirit.org. You can go on the web and check out the program from there. Or if you'd want to find out more extensively, you can call me at 1-773-831-4496. Also, several books are available online, Knowing Spirits or Healing Your Soul, which talks about a lot of techniques on just, it's very self-explanatory. Also, The Rite of Passage, Infinite Love and Infinite Wisdom are also available. So just take a look at the web. And I also have podcasts up there as well, just teach The Lost Teachings of the Divine Mother, which a lot of people are finding interesting. So, again, it has been an honor and a pleasure to talk with you, LaVonne, about this freedom of forgiveness. And I thank everyone for listening and tuning into us next week. We didn't touch on accepting as much as I'd like to today, so I would like to focus on how accepting can bring us to that place of power that we're all looking for. So until then, have a good week, and thank you very much for being on the line.
Thank you for listening to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. Please visit our website at www.knowingspirit.org. And if you would like to be a guest on our program or book a private consultation with Reverend Sharice Thorne, please call us at 1-815-483-1141. Until then, this is Reverend Sharice sending you light and love on your journey home.